Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, my beef burgers. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller, and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Luke Ball's here.
All right.
And the beefiest of them all is Pete Donaldson.
Beefy!
Bacon belongs in a burger. Hello, everybody. It's good to have you with us. As the music was just playing, Pete Donaldson thought he was at a South American football match and threw toilet roll at me.
And a flare.
He knew where he was.
Unused
it was
toilet roll.
It was the atmosphere sort of booster that I needed.
Yeah. It embodied the spirit of the 1978 World Cup in Argentina. Yeah.
I think so.
Which we're previewing today. I think Argentina might win.
I think they knew that before that tournament as well. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. Of course we're going to talk about some footballs because we're nearly at the time of the week where most of it happens. The weekend. West Ham in the London Stadium host West Brom. Mm.
The Battle of Westeros.
Marcus won't know what that is, but it works. It checks out.
It's nothing to do with the Pet Shop Boys, no?
Not this time, for once.
All right. Well, yeah. Damn you all. Gareth Southgate's going to be at the game, which is nice to know. He's presumably checking out the likes of Antonio and Carroll. I mean, big Andy Carroll. We like Andy Carroll on
this
show.
If he's fit, he should be on the bench at least.
Yeah. He should be on the plane.
He's always said that.
He's struggling with a groin strain, though, isn't he? So he might not actually play.
To my knowledge, ever since he's come back from the injury he had, every time he plays, he seems to be nursing some sort of knock after the game. It just seems to be like a part of the package with Carroll.
He's a knock nurser.
Yeah, he really is.
That's quite normal when players have long injuries, though, isn't it? That they pick up little ones.
All of his injuries are long. He's a long man.
Especially if he's called Andy Carroll.
In particular.
My favourite quote around this game, if I could just share it with you, is from Slaven Bilic, where he said, "We have a team that is working hard for each other. We have a brilliant atmosphere in the dressing room. Not because Piatek left." Don't say it then.
Yeah, double that in.
Because now we're all thinking it is because of that.
Yeah, well, they've picked up though, haven't they? So I put to you, is this the most successful Dimitri Payet migration we've seen in football?
It's all it needed.
I don't know, the move from Marseille to West Ham was good.
Yeah, it was. Very strong.
I mean, I suppose that went better for them.
Smoother than the latest one, the other way around, you could say. It's funny you mentioned Bilic. We'll talk a little bit about Leicester later on in the show, but during Leicester versus Derby, Steve McLaren's team talk was broadcast.
It was just shown. There was no sound.
But yeah. I thought that would be a great thing. And immediately, for some reason, I thought, I'd love to know what Slaven Bilic says to the players. Because in one sense, you could see him going mad. Like, if it was a Chelsea half-time team talk, Conte would smash up the dressing room or something. But with Bilic, it could be something like that. Or you could just imagine him going round and, like, rubbing the players' heads.
So you see this without the sound, you can just see his lips move.
Yeah.
He seems to be mentioning forks quite a lot.
Or his guitar act, because he used to be in that band Raw Bone.
He was spotted by a friend of a friend of mine who works for for my radio station, who saw him at a Green Day concert, sat next to him.
But I've heard a couple of examples where the sort of behaviour of the manager at half time in the dressing room isn't as you'd expect. Apparently, someone told me that Mark Hughes never raises his voice. It is very, very measured. But you'd expect Mark Hughes to be a man who would lose his temper quite a lot, but apparently he doesn't.
Is it fair to say John Sitton's the same?
No, it isn't. John Sitton's exactly as you'd imagine him to be. But Marcus, you also said on the show once about Alex Ferguson, right? He just doesn't go mad when you expect him to go mad. And most notable example being when Eric Cantona kicked that Crystal Palace fan.
Yeah.
He just said, "Oh, Eric, you can't do that." I just carried on.
But I mean, he did give him the special treatment. Best one, of course, is I think was it in Roy Keane's book? He said that Ferguson always get it right. And we said it before, but it's always worth going over it. When they beat Spurs, was it 5-3 at White Hart Lane? They were 3-0 down at half-time, and he just walked in the dressing room and went, "Lads, it's Tottenham. Yeah. And walked out, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I think it would be quite an interesting thing to see what goes on in the dressing room.
I agree,
but especially if it was Bilic involved.
To bring it back to West Ham and the Payet thing, and I think he left on the 6th of January, and they've won 3 out of 4 in the league since then, and they've won 6 out of 9, so they are in good form. They're sort of doing what you'd expect them to do, really, beating the teams that maybe they should be beating. And
they've kicked on. They're in the top half.
Yeah. Well, do you think maybe that the growing pains from the stadium are done, because they're sort of, you know, they're at a point now where they could have a respectable season, which with the benefit of hindsight is probably a more realistic aim for this season than their initial one, which was of building on last season.
Right.
They can now look forward to sort of, you know, finishing sort of comfortably mid-table.
They will probably
not get into the Europa League, but you know, that's, it's steady, isn't it?
They finished last time 7th, and they're 9th at the moment. I think they're about 6 points off Everton, right, and 7th.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
Yeah, no,
exactly.
They're going to have an absolutely fine season. But someone who's playing really well, I thought Lanzini would come into it a bit more now, Payet's gone, but I think he started the last game on the bench. But Pedro Aubameyang was fantastic last time out, and he looks a real player in that central midfield position, who at 24 is obviously going to improve. So it's going all right for West Ham, and I think, you know, they should be confident going into this one.
Mm. West Brom are having a great season as well under old Tony Pulis, and now they've got Berahino off their books.
So under the radar, like West Brom. I mean apart from the fact they got pumped by Spurs in one of the best performances of the season, it's hard to think of anything else that West Brom have really done. They've gone about beating teams they should be beating. Mm-hmm. They've lost games you'd otherwise expect them to lose. Matt Phillips, as you said, Jim, on a number of occasions, in good form. You know, Darren Fletcher's one of the most reliable players in the Premier League.
Defensively very sound.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you've got
decent keeper.
Got a good goalkeeper. Chris Brunt's got a great left foot. You know, they do all the basics very, very well, don't they? West Brom.
And also, Rondon's sort of dropped off a bit, and you imagine he'll probably come back into some patch of form at some point. So I think there's more to come back from him, if that makes sense, well.
Do they share the goals around a little bit, West Brom?
Yeah,
they
do, a huge amount. But that's the beauty of that West Brom side, because Rondon is not the type of striker that's going to get you 20 goals.
He's got 7 this season.
Yeah, so he'll do okay. I think that's the same as Crouch, actually, off the top of my head. Could be wrong there. But Rondon, he will, as you say, Jim, go patches when he scores. I mean, he scored 3 in one game, of course.
All with his head.
Get the crosses in, lads. But with that West Brom side, they've got goals everywhere. And let's put this into a little bit of perspective. Arsenal are 12 points behind Chelsea. West Brom are 11 points off a Champions League spot.
Wow.
There you are.
Is it doable?
Well, Wenger seems to think that the title race isn't over. West Brom are not,
hasn't he?
He does have to say that, but West Brom, Pulis thinks they can qualify Champions League.
Well, listen, West Ham are 6-5 with Bet365 to win this one. So £10 returns, £22 including stake. So yeah, that's the latest on that.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, so yeah, it's a tricky one. 8th versus 9th.
But it's the opening fixture of the weekend, isn't it? So that'll get us off to a good start, hopefully.
Yeah.
West Ham have a very good record in this fixture as well. I think West Brom have only won once away at West Ham in the Premier League.
Yeah, but they've not played them at the London Stadium.
Well, quite, yeah.
Perhaps the weekend's thigh rubber is Liverpool versus Spurs.
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah.
Mm. Speaking of thighs, did you see that Liverpool fan with the Adam Lallana?
I did.
I quite liked it.
There's a sweet story behind it, though. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what it is?
No, I don't know what it is.
It's basically, a girl had this tattoo of Adam Lallana, but sort of as a llama. And it was because her friend was a big Liverpool fan, and Adam Lallana was her favourite player, but she died. And the girl who had the tattoo used to call him Adam the Llama or something like that to wind her up. But her friend also, she found it funny and was wound up by it at the same time. So it was a little private joke they had, and she had it to sort of commemorate that, which I think is lovely.
Yeah. I think it is as well.
It's nicely done as well.
And I knew Pete would like it.
But listen, I've got no comment to make on the artistic sort of quality of it, but you should not be taking a steer from that man about whether it's good or not.
My last tattoo was the drawing of a video game character that was performed in a Berlin restaurant / tattoo parlor.
I love your tattoos, Pete. I'm on record
so there we go.
I don't even know what that means.
It was a restaurant / tattoo parlor in Berlin that I had to be honest, it was a pretty naff tattoo.
Okay.
So.
But it's on your skin. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, it is. I don't mind. Skin. In my skin.
Yeah. But obviously the story is important to say, Jim, but there was a tattoo of a Premier League player on somebody's thigh, and I thought Pete Donaldson.
I'm having it.
We need your comments. Yeah. We need your comments.
Two thumbs up.
Indeed. It's hard to think that Liverpool were top of the league in November because they are not going very well. Of course, 13 points behind Chelsea at the moment. The Spurs, 9 points behind Chelsea, but Liverpool
Spurs win games.
Yeah, they do. Well, yeah.
Quietly, and no one talks about it.
Only a little more than Liverpool, though, because
Liverpool haven't won a league game this year.
They haven't, Jim. But Liverpool have got a good record, as everybody says, because it's true, against those other teams in the top six. Mm. So that's why this is one is a hard one to call, because on the form book and so on and so forth, you'd say Spurs have surely got this, yeah. But then Liverpool are pretty decent.
But I think about that as well, but Pochettino is a very versatile tactician, and I wonder if he'll look at how Liverpool have been playing and actually just have Spurs kind of contain them and hit them on the break. Just see if the simple...
What, simple as that?
See if the simple part of... see if that simple tactic works against them for the first, say, half hour of the game, and then if not, switch it up and...
It's been working for teams in the last month, though, hasn't
exactly.
it? So.
I mean, that stat about Liverpool not winning the game in 2017. Spurs, I think, have
league
lost...
League game.
Yeah, Spurs, I think, have lost one league game since the 26th of November.
Mm.
And they're still 9 points behind Chelsea. So that gives you a measure of how well Chelsea are doing. Mm. Excuse me. I think Spurs will get some joy in this game down the flanks, probably. I think Klopp's got a... I know that Rose might not be able to make it, but I know Davis started there last time out.
Lovren is a doubt for Liverpool.
That's a key point as well, because Harry Kane's obviously fantastic and Eriksen's probably been Spurs' best player this season, and he's capable, more than capable, of opening that lock for Liverpool, especially when Liverpool defensively aren't that good. But what I wanted to say was that Kyle Walker down the right is clearly a fantastically quick attacking fullback who's also adept at defending. And I think Klopp's got a decision to make with who he plays at left back, whether it's Milner, this sort of solid but fairly slow operator, or whether he matches pace for pace and goes with Moreno, who is a bit questionable going backwards.
I don't know. I think Milner could do a job on it, because remember when Danny Alves said the most annoying opponent ever faced was James Milner. Everywhere he went, he went. Just, no, that may have been a few years
just
ago.
Just whip the ball in from deep and Mignolet will drop it and was on that somewhere.
That's another consideration. Does he go for Karius? I mean, I would have thought that he'll probably stick with Mignolet until the rest of the season.
Historically, he's done that, hasn't he? He's not kind of dropped anyone immediately after old spill.
Sure, I mean, there was talk that... there was talk that Mignolet and Sturridge as well might leave in the summer. Mm. But
all this talk of transfers, just to cut in there, all this transfer talk because there was talk that Sturridge will move on, and there's talk that Mignolet might move on. All that, as far as I can see, has come from Mickey Quinn, of all people, who gave an interview to The Sun and said that he thought that Klopp was going to be given a load of money to sign these new players, including Joe Hart and I think, was it Aubameyang?
Aubameyang they were going to go after.
It's worth remembering that, you know, I think Ronnie Whelan, who's obviously an ex-Liverpool player, said in November that Klopp's going to spend a load of money in January and nothing actually happened.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, the only difference between sort of... I suppose it's a bit different at the end of the season, but Klopp's clearly got a lot more control and a lot more autonomy over transfers and policy and stuff at Liverpool than Brendan Rodgers had. Mm-hmm. I read an interesting piece by one of the Liverpool fan sites which said that Brendan Rodgers was seen as a manager to implement the ownership's vision, whereas they've actually torn that up a little bit entirely and given that to Klopp to actually do his own thing now. And it might actually be that in January he didn't find anyone that he wanted. Mm-hmm. So it could happen, but I'm just saying a lot of that has come from The Sun via Mickey Quinn. I don't know what Mickey Quinn's contacts like. They might be great. I just don't know. I'm just saying. So
a lot's been made of that,
but it might just be... it was written by the Sun's deputy digital sports editor or something from Mickey Quinn. So it's not like it's a hugely reliable source necessarily.
Regardless, sorry, Pete, of where it comes from, though, they do seem two obvious moves. I think Sturridge is becoming a bit of a hindrance now, isn't he, in terms of what the expectation versus what, you know, they're actually getting from him. And they might do better to just sell him on. They probably won't get a huge amount from him now because he's very well documented and tangibly provable lack of pace has really diminished his game. They need someone more reliable in there, don't they? It's just, you know, it's undeniable, really.
Yeah, well, he could become a former Liverpool striker soon enough. Speaking of former Liverpool strikers, ladies and gentlemen, Debril Cisse has retired from the game. Which is a shame. He hasn't played a game since 2015.
I always liked Gibril Cissé.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Good player, and came back from, I think, two very, very serious injuries.
Yeah, did he break the same leg? Was it both legs, right?
He definitely had two leg breaks.
And they were proper, like, compound fracture as well.
One of them particularly was absolutely horrific. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Wasn't it the case that he retired in 2015 and then decided, no, I want to get myself back to fitness and see if I can get back, and he has basically just decided that he can't. It's a shame.
It is a shame. But what I love is, though, that when, and some people would be quite sneery saying that, oh, he's concentrate on his DJ career and as a producer and a consultant.
He's got a fashion line as well, Neil
Yeah,
Frank,
a clothing label. But that, when you see him DJing, I think he's damn right. It's lovely when a player leaves and they can go into something that is obviously a passion. And
beats open in the pub, doesn't it?
Which is what yeah, exactly. Well, it depends what your passion is.
Yeah, but going back to the game,
drinking.
Going back to the game, obviously the first game between these two sides in the league finished 1-1, didn't it? And they were quite evenly matched. I remember Liverpool being very good in the first half, and there was a penalty involved that Milner scored, and then Danny Rose equalised. But So they're fairly evenly matched, these teams. I think Spurs are a better team, but I think their record at Anfield is poor. Their record away from home is nowhere near as good as their home record. I think they've got 32 of their 50 points this season at home. Mm. And Klopp's record against the top mm-hmm. six sides is actually a good one. So the draw here with Bet365 is 23-10. So £10 returns, £33 including stake. Should be, as you say, a thigh rubber, but you never know, they might cancel each other out. For mm-hmm. me, at risk of making myself sound like an absolute idiot again, it's got a draw written all over it.
I think get your shorts out, however cold, better access to thighs. This is going to be
okay.
A thigh rubber, I think.
Hopefully, well, I hope you're right, Jim.
My favourite thing about all of the chats around in this game was Adam Lallana said that Liverpool were lacking winners, basically. It's only James Milner that's got the experience of actually winning trophies. And what I loved about it was that apparently they referred to him as Millie. He said, oh yeah, Millie's the only one who's really won anything.
Millie.
It's incredibly sort of like twee, isn't it?
It's like
Millie.
It's like Spellsy.
Well, yeah. Probably said against his own wishes as well.
On a semi-serious point, I mean, Klopp has come to Liverpool when they're not really anywhere near the finish article, right? So I think they finished, when his first couple of seasons at Dortmund, they finished sixth and I think fifth. Mm-hmm. It took him a while to get going. I mean, so he does need time to actually start implementing and bringing the players in that he wants and as Adam Lallana said, maybe instilling this sort of winning philosophy within them. And the Premier League's a very, very competitive league. You know, they're in terms of first 11 and even probably bench as well, they're light years behind Spurs. I think Spurs are a better side, but, you know, obviously it doesn't always work out like that on the day.
Yeah, and they are still fifth, very much in contention for Champions League spots.
Not many of Spurs' squad have got that same kind of winning experience, though, have they? So it's kind of like, well, you're either hungry or you've won it.
One of the things that I remember thinking about after Spurs beat Middlesbrough is I think this is probably a better win than people are thinking. I think
Middlesbrough had a chance late on as well.
They did, but a lot of the reports of the match were talking like workmanlike and tough and all that sort of stuff. You've got to remember, Middlesbrough defensively are very, very good. They've got no problem keeping goals out. I mean, I think only United, Spurs and Chelsea have conceded fewer goals than them in the Premier League, which for a promoted side is remarkable. So to come out of that game 1-0 as a win, that for me is a very, very impressive result.
Yeah, I mean, you are right. They've conceded 28 goals this season, Middlesbrough. The team above them, Bournemouth, have conceded 47.
Exactly.
And the team below them, Swansea, 54.
Yeah. So it's not a
Leicester are below them, 41, but then Swansea, 54. You're right.
So it's not a surprise that Middlesbrough weren't able to score against Spurs because they struggled to score. But in terms of limiting Spurs to just one goal, I don't think that was hugely surprising.
Of course. Well, that leads us neatly onto Middlesbrough at home to Everton. I like the fact that Patrick Bamford's gone back to Middlesbrough. He played some of his best football under there. And some interesting quotes that he said about his time in Burnley.
He had a bit of a tough time of it, didn't he, under Sean Dyche?
He did, yeah. Well, I'd heard about this. I mean, obviously, he's still... he's now on Middlesbrough's books fully. They've signed him outright, whereas, of course, he was being loaned out by Chelsea, as a lot of young players are. Mm. And he was at Burnley. It was unsuccessful, and he clashed with Dyche. And Bamford is clearly a well-educated, probably quite a middle-class, reasonably well-to-do chap. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, owns acres of land in the north of Scotland or something, but, you know, he's not from the same or similar stock that a lot of footballers are from, and some people have this inverted snobbery that exists in football.
Mm. Which it's spoken about very articulately in Simon Cooper's book, Why England Lose, about how England as a footballing nation are very, very poor at embracing the middle classes.
Yeah.
And Patrick Bamford, as far as I know, is very much one of those. Well, yeah.
Graham Lasso was another one. Reads The Guardian and goes to the theatre and so on and so forth.
I've seen Patrick Bamford play live a couple times. I saw him once for Palace, and he looked to me like almost like he was too good for the Championship, but maybe not quite good enough for the Premier League, purely due to confidence. I mean, he's one of those players, a bit like his demeanour is very much like some of those other players you see, like Mesut Ozil or something. He's quite slopey shouldered. It's not going for him. It's very easy for the more sort of unthinking football fan to really get on his back, which, of course, for a striker is the last thing they need.
Exactly.
And Bamford had a terrible time of it at Palace as well. And when I saw him play for them, I thought, he's got ability. He's got a nice touch.
I think he was the player of the season in the Championship once.
Okay.
He was certainly up there. He had a superb season with Middlesbrough. But you're right about the confidence thing, because, you know, he said that Sean Dyche told him that because he came through at Chelsea, which, by the way, is an incredible achievement. But according to Dyche, who I like largely, but he said, according to Dyche, he came through at Chelsea because of that and because of his kind of middle-class upbringing, he'd never had to work for anything in his life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but if you come through at Chelsea, is that not a bit of an achievement? If you're a professional footballer, is it not?
You don't really have the option, do you, really?
It's that inverse snobbery, isn't it?
It is, completely.
It just sort of permeates a lot of the game.
It's only one side of the story, I suppose.
Yeah, look at him with his nice, smooth voice. Like syrup it is.
Well, maybe that's it. But actually, Bamford, I should say, having said that, all that about Chelsea, he came through at Nottingham Forest, where he was said he was cleaning toilets and scrubbing floors, you know, back in those
days. It's all right, Patrick. You don't have to...
Yeah, that's right.
We believe you. Thanks. But, I mean, the problem is, for as we just touched on, they don't score enough goals, and is Patrick Bamford going to be the answer to that question?
You would
probably not. No.
But it'd be great if he was, wasn't it? Because he does need to sort of do it in the Premier League now, I think. He's at that stage. He's done it in the Championship. He's had a couple of moves that haven't quite worked out. And it'd be nice to just see him get a run of games and see him build his confidence and see what he can do at this level, because he's not really he's just not done it yet, has he? And it really does feel like, as you say, Luke, it is a confidence thing. That striker that is capable at this level is in there, but come on,
Borough fans, yeah, give him the support he needs.
Stop waxing your moustache, get off your penny farthing and do it.
Jim Campbell is saying,
posh
come
boy.
On.
I'm keen to see how Everton get on this guy. I think, you know, they started off really well, obviously, and then a bit of a blip from sort of, you know, September through to sort of early December, and then they seem to be back on form again.
Yeah.
I really like, we talked a bit about Lukaku as well earlier in the week and how great he was at the weekend. I really like their midfield options now.
They've got great midfield options.
If you look at all the players they've got across that midfield, Barkley, Bolasie, Idrissa Gueye, who's having a good season, Barry, Schneiderlin, who they've just signed, Tom Davis, who's voted fans... player of the month, I think, this month. He's doing well. Morales, McCarthy, Lennon, Ade Lookman, who they signed from Charlton. Mm-hmm. A lot of options. You can see
they really do.
The thing about Everton under Koeman is he's not been there long, and it's going to take a bit of a while, but can you see what Koeman's doing? And I think you absolutely can. And they're going to get a few odd results, and they're going to struggle a little bit here and there, but I think I'd be very, very confident if I was an Everton fan what Koeman's doing there.
He's getting more numbers in that midfield.
Yeah,
and
across a bit, but different types of players, different levels of experience.
That's
and
right.
Speaking of Everton, though, did you see the ex-Everton player Royston Drenthe? Have you seen
him? What's he been up to?
Go on, he's an interesting one.
So for those who don't remember him, he was like a really, really top prospect in Holland, and he came through.
He's a classy player, if I remember.
He was signed for Real Madrid for a season or two, and he wound up at Everton on loan for a while. He's not doing much now, but what he's just done is recorded a hip-hop tune under the alias Roya Two Faces. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I heard it. I listened to it earlier. Okay. It's called Paranoia, and as far as I can make out, it's the first release he's had since 2012, so he's got form for this. And the first song he released is called Tack Tacky. Which is also really terrible, but it translates to yes, this in Polish, oddly. In Dutch, I couldn't find out what it meant.
Okay.
But yeah, so he's keeping busy. His music is really, really bad. To the point of the most recent song, he raps in a mixture of Dutch and English. But the English stuff seems to be just the cliche stuff that maybe doesn't translate in Dutch.
Right, okay.
So it's just like all the swearing stuff and all the women bits and all the guns and that sort of stuff. He does that in English.
Right.
So it makes for quite an odd listen.
Does he sing in like an American accent? Does he think, has he gone
no, really
UK hip hop?
No, really Dutch accent. Right, okay. Yeah, really Dutch accent, yeah.
I'm going to check this out. I love a mental rapper.
Roya Two Faces on YouTube. He's not actually that old. I think he was playing out in somewhere in Eastern Europe. He's not that old. I think he'd be about 28, something like that.
But so many footballers seem to be doing this now, like Djibril Cisse with his career, and Aubameyang had a song out a little while ago, didn't he? I love this. They're getting so rich now. It's like, yeah, I'll just be a musician for the rest of my life. I don't care if anyone likes it. I'm going to build a studio
Cole.
In my house.
Andy Cole had a tune. Yeah.
An outstanding tune.
Andy Cole was ahead of the game. Way ahead of the curve. Andy Cole's doing this in the 90s. Well, maybe it was in the 90s.
I think it was.
Anyway, going back to the game, Everton are 11-10 to pick up an away win here. So £10 with Bet365 returns £21, including the stake.
Right then, let's have some emails from Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, once again, it's been a bumper week for emails, so we're kind of spreading them out a little bit. We're going to do the most famous footballing rambler at the end of the show, but we'll do some non-famous footballing rambler emails now.
It's the rambler who's played to the highest level of football, right? I don't necessarily be famous.
I'm trying to brand it.
Yeah,
trying to brand it up.
Yeah. Oh, is it a sponsorship opportunity?
Get in touch, guys. Jack Beverly says, Wagwan, guys. Given how much you usually discuss being annoyed with players who don't celebrate against their former clubs, I was surprised that Kyriakos Papadopoulos didn't get a mention in Tuesday's show.
There's a reason for that, Jack, to be honest.
His name is really hard to pronounce.
Even if Marcus did see that, there's no way he's putting that in the running order.
On January the 7th, Papadopoulos signed for Hamburg from Bayer Leverkusen. I can't say Leverkusen. Just a little over 2 weeks later, he faced his former side and headed the winner for the much unfancied Hamburg before celebrating with a fist bump and a bloody massive knee slide. Nice stuff, but made all the sweet frustrated by the fact that he had only just signed for Hamburg on loan and is still technically being paid by Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Straight out of the Lamana Luwalawa textbook of hurt.
He's hurt us.
That's one of the greatest ever Bobby Robson quotes. He's hurt us today.
If celebrating a winner against your current employees with a knee slide doesn't sum up the kind of incident the Football Ramble wants to report, and I don't know what does, didn't want to let it slip through the cracks. Keep
testify.
The good work.
Well, yeah. that's why we've got you, mate. You can do it for us.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much for getting involved, everyone. Right. Andre Moynihan, a listener here from New Zealand. Not so much a highlight, but more of a tribute here to the passing of New Zealand football captain and legend Steve Sumner. The attacking midfielder captained the All Whites to their first ever World Cup in 1982. A massive achievement for anyone. A massive achievement for the team. Now, to be fair, the team had to endure a grueling 15-match qualifying schedule in which they covered 90,000 kilometres. They even have to play in a Southern Death playoff to reach the tournament in Spain, eventually going 921 minutes without conceding a goal. Sumner also became the first Oceania player to score in the World Cup in the side's 5-2 loss to Scotland, and in 2010 he was inducted into the FIFA Order of Merit against Johan Cruyff. He was an inspirational leader, a wonderful human being, and he was positive right throughout his illness, which eventually took him well before his time. R.I.P. Steve Sumner. Worth mentioning, he was born in England, played for Blackpool's youth team before migrating to New Zealand.
He's a legend in New Zealand. I remember there was a football club I played for in New Zealand, there was a poster of him on the wall of the clubhouse.
Hang on, are you chucking yourself in the email?
I thought I'd
mention it because you're a big fan of New Zealand.
Right,
going on to Vish's email. Hello Vish, hello Ramblers. After Pete mentioned during the previous show that his hatred of Tim Cahill had mellowed slightly, it got me thinking about my friend's dad, who by contrast developed a hatred of a player from his own club that grew exponentially. The club in question is Blackburn Rovers. The player was cumbersome, sometimes dive bomber Shefty Kuki. He played for Newcastle briefly for about five matches.
A Finnish striker.
Was he Finnish or was
so.
He?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He has a fascinating kind of. God.
He looks like one of those blokes, for those who can't picture him, who's never been young.
Yeah.
He looks like his face has been carved out of granite.
He was sort of just born in some sort of rock formation. He just sort of cracked out of it one day.
Yeah, he escaped like a civil war, I don't believe, in one country and sort of managed to migrate. My mate's dad, a proper football man trademark, has been a Blackburn fan since the 60s, experiencing the highs and lows with good grace. He once told me that he saw it as his duty as a supporter to encourage, and he would never slate or berate his own players or manager while in the stands, partly due to his doctor telling him that he developed high blood pressure. Instead, he'd save the effing and blinding for the car ride home, until the first year of Shefty Kuki. After a host of woeful performances in his first season, my mate's dad was ticking, and eventually he lost his rag. During a rare display of competence, Kuki, after coming on as a substitute with Blackburn desperate for a goal, managed to round the opposition keeper in front of the home end and had an easy finish on. Somehow he conspired to miss. He fell in a heap in front of my mate's dad, who was sat just in front. Struggling to keep it together, he stood up and pointed at Kuki, who looked right back at him and shouted, "You wanker!" Kuki's face dropped as he watched this irate fan storm out with 20 minutes to go. On the drive home, he vowed he would never watch Kuki play in a Blackburn shirt again. A promise he kept superbly. In future matches, whenever Kuki came on as a sub, he would leave and listen to the rest of the game in the car. Often offering a cursory, "I'm sorry lads, I just can't do it," to his three sons who attended the game with him. It got to the stage that whenever the fourth official's board went on Kuki's number, the rest of the row were conditioned to stand up to allow my mate's dad to leave. This culminated in a rather spectacular moment when, having just walked through the turnstiles at 2:30 PM, the ground announcer at Ewood Park gave the news of a late change due to an injury sustained in the warm-up. My mate's dad bowed his head, turned around and walked straight back to his car.
Oh my goodness.
Fantastic.
Incredible.
But I mean, that's how you hate your player like a pro.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You should be inspired
I'm
by that.
I'm embarrassed by that. So, Vicious mate's dad, fantastic stuff. And finally for now, Tobias Liljeblad, I have a problem with the podcast and I need your help, guys. Sometimes during the commercial break, there is a fellow saying something like, "Hi, Linford Grimes here, and you're listening to the Football Ramble." I have googled this name, and even though I'm not a native English speaker, I don't think that a village in the Breckland district of Norfolk is able to produce such a sentence, even in your wacky podcast. I also don't think that Linford Christie has received a speech impediment that has stopped pronouncing his name correctly. I have been looking into this for some time, and I can't find the person who he is.
Are you telling me we've got a listener who's never heard of Linford Grimes? He's a legend.
Look hard on the internet.
You must be spelling it wrong. I'm not going to help you.
So please let me know. I would very much like to fall asleep again, as this is consuming all my free time. Thank you, Tobias Liljeblad.
Let's leave out there.
Let's see out there.
I'm not putting that man out.
Linford Grimes.
Yeah,
I love that guy.
Great player.
Popular with the fans.
Real servant.
Fan favourite.
Was it the 1954 FA Cup?
Yeah. Get an education.
I'm Grimesy. We're going to talk more about football and that after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Convoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Oh, yes, it's good to be back with you. Back to the Premier League. Burnley versus Chelsea. Sean Dyche. The man who hates the middle classes up against Chelsea.
Yeah.
The people who embrace the middle classes.
Unless they're trying to get on a tube. they're not inclusive in many respects.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This will be a real test of Burnley's absolutely superb home record.
Yeah, almost magical home record. Yeah. It's like there's a spell on Turf Moor, isn't it?
Chelsea, since they switched to three at the back, have only lost one game, I think, in the league, and that was against Spurs, who also went three at the back. As far as I can make out, Sean Dyche has never played three at the back in his whole life. he probably thinks three at the back is like foreign muck.
Absolutely.
There's no way he's going to try.
I'll tell you what that is, that's PC gone mad.
Yeah. Sounds like a middle class formation to me.
That's lymph and grimy.
Sprinkle some herbs on it and I'm done with it.
If I had lymph and grimes to play sweeper.
Literally picking on a listener.
Yeah.
You read the email out.
I did.
It reminded me to bring Arsenal fans back down to earth as well, because when Wenger talked about the title race not being over, I presume he meant Spurs have a chance, because Chelsea have only dropped 13 points all season. So they're not really going to drop another 12, are they?
Well, Wenger wants the Arsenal fans to be more like the Spurs fans, isn't he?
I know.
Well,
exactly.
We're looking ahead to next season, so we already know.
No. But back to the Burnley versus Chelsea. Antonio Conte has said that his players having blind faith in his methods.
Well, you'd
have led
to.
Them
you'd
to where
have
they
to
are
be.
This
I mean,
season,
as far as I can make
don't
out,
don't disagree with him.
No, as far as I can make out, the biggest sort of challenge to his managerial tenure this season has been this Costa situation, where it looks like he's just completely out-mentaled him, alpha-mailed him, and now there's no more being said about it. When he had that debate with Costa, and then Costa was off for a one game with a back injury. It's like, I can imagine the end of that conversation, Conte went, right, do you understand? And Costa just went, yeah, and he went, right, now we're going to say you've got a back injury. You're going to be off for a week.
You've wound your neck so far into your body it's hurt your back.
Yeah. Did he not say that? Did Conte not say, like, quite calmly, Diego and I had some words, and after I finished shouting at him, he agreed with me. It was something to that effect, you know.
But I do think Burnley's record at home needs to be respected. I mean, Michael Keane has been a fantastic servant for the season.
He really has.
One of the most underrated players in the league this season, I would say. So it will test, obviously test Burnley these sort of defensive capabilities at home to the limit. Yeah. But they're a well-drilled side. You can see them frustrating Chelsea.
Unsurprisingly, though, do have the best away record in the league. I think they've got 26 points.
Yeah, Chelsea are not going to respect that back line.
No.
We should, but they won't.
Is this the occasion for Joey Barton?
Well, I think he could go out and mix things up a bit.
Joey Barton.
Listen, I would pay good money to see Barton slotting at centre-back just to see how much he can wind up.
No, look. 10 minutes in, red card. I'm making a prediction. Yeah, I'm putting... Yeah. I'm,
Pete, 10 minutes in, red card for one of them. Or possibly both of them. I'm a neutral here. I can't wait for that.
I would say to Barton, because Barton, you would imagine, he would love a challenge, and he would love to show everybody that one of the most talked about players in the league this season is maybe not as good as he thinks he is. And I'd say Barton on Kante for the whole game. Where he goes, you go.
Imagine it.
After 10 minutes...
Yeah, I know.
He hasn't played that much football. Yeah.
So cramping muscles he didn't know he had.
Marcus' idea
of a red card.
Your idea of tactics is to put... How old is Barton now?
34.
Yeah, 34-ish-year-old Joe Barton on the most, probably the most energetic midfield player in the whole of Europe.
Somebody sent me a great a video clip of David Batty tearing it up against Sampdoria in a pre-season friendly. Have you seen it? It's beautiful.
I saw the link. I didn't actually.
It's a masterclass of a man just brought on a field to kill people and then laugh it off because it's a pre-season friendly. It doesn't matter. Wow.
You can imagine him like just standing over victims, going,
"Bring him on. He'd have a game." He never liked to train. He liked the matches.
David Batty, was he not? In the afternoon, did he go and do like a load of handyman jobs?
Yeah, we said it before. Proper football.
Stuart Pearce was a famous
Sparky,
famous electrician.
Yeah, but that's fair though. I like that.
Alan Pardew, a plasterer as well.
No, he was a window fitter, wasn't he? Yeah, some sort of window fitter. But Burnley and their tremendous home record of 15-2 with Bet365 to beat Chelsea. So £10 would return £85, including stake. Be a brave bet.
It would be very.
As I said to you before, their home record must be respected.
But then Conte claims to have turned Chelsea from an ugly duckling into a swan this season.
Oh, he has done.
Dig, isn't it?
He has done.
It is a bit of a dig, but it's a factual dig. The best kind of dig.
You called the Premier League title for Chelsea just this week, so you know.
Just this week.
You clearly agree, me old pal.
Indeed, I do. They're going to take that crown from Leicester City or away to Swansea City.
I can't believe you didn't do the ugly duck to the swan for Swansea.
I thought it was too obvious.
Come on, no, you didn't.
You're slowing up, mate.
Yeah. I've heard your links.
Ranieri's made a more positive result against Derby.
Yes, they
although it took them a while to beat them. But they still beat them.
They were the better side in extra time. I think we could probably all agree on that. Mm. I mean, it's always going to be a tough game. It's a derby against, it's a local derby against a side who are pushing for promotion. But both teams made a lot of changes in that game. I was actually impressed with quite a lot of derby players who slotted in there. I thought they played well.
They did play very well. Indeed, he got a nice winner.
He did.
For Leicester, which is good to see one of their signings do something quite early.
Do you know what? I think Leicester, as I said on Monday, Leicester are sleepwalking into something terrible here. And I, speaking of three at the back earlier in the context of Chelsea and Burnley, I wouldn't be averse to seeing Leicester go three at the back. You know, I think it would give them what they look like they're doing for me is that they're not amply protecting their centre backs. And Morgan and Hood look like they've not got the intensity. They've aged overnight. Yeah. If they could slot Amati in there, who plays centre back for Ghana in the Africa Cup of Nations. He's still young. He's got a lot of energy. If he played in there and they had either Huth or Morgan sweeping up, and they've got
Simpson maybe.
They've got players who can play hold midfield anyway.
They've got
Mendy and Didi who could play centre midfield anyway, and they could fill that gap. I think they might look a lot more solid because I mean their recent record in the Premier League is absolutely incredible. It's incredibly bad. I think they've conceded 10 in their last 4 Premier League games. They've scored none in their last 5.
Well, sort of pushing players up a little bit might kind of give the other team something to think about, which they haven't for the past few weeks. It just looks so kind of dull.
Well, there was a big talk about Damari Gray, of course, who was man of the match.
He was excellent.
Scored a great goal. And so, you know, just give him a run out in the team. It can't get any worse.
It's actually a brilliant result for Leicester because it's, it's just encouraging that they can get a result like that over a decent championship team for next year, isn't it? and like, I think the problem, the very weird thing about this is, like, you look at it and if Leicester weren't reigning champions, you'd back Swansea all day. It's this really weird situation. Then you take a step back and think, yeah, I probably still back Swansea on this.
Yeah, well, Leicester haven't won a game away all season. They haven't won a game in the Premier League.
That's absolutely ridiculous. And Sigurdsson's in great form and is obviously very dangerous from set pieces. And with the way Huth and Morgan in particular are playing, they are very plodding and clumsy. You'd imagine they'll give him chances from there.
The situation is very odd because I talk about them not having the intensity from what I've seen. And they look like they've lost a yard of pace overnight. But last season, if you guys remember, They weren't welcoming it, but they were ably dealing with any ball into the box, any ball from down the flank into the box. Morgan or Hoof were eating them every single game. Now they just seem to be in absolute disarray at the back. It's very, very strange. I don't want to get on the backs too much because they're reigning champions, but to me, it's almost unprofessional.
They're shirking responsibility.
Yeah. No, unprofessional is absolutely right. It's like we were saying, they've bought into this narrative of, oh, there's no way we can repeat what we did last season. But that doesn't mean they still can't have a decent season rather than this absolute shambles.
They almost seem to be kind of walking towards the stocks. They're sort of going, well, we're going to get them out of the Champions League. Yeah. The chairman will probably pull a trigger after that and see if we can rescue something out of the season. So I think they're just waiting for that. And it's not open revolve, but Schmeichel seems to be leading something behind the scenes.
He was very
Ranieri.
Robust in his post-match interview after the weekend, but it's like the season-long equivalent of when you play in like a Sunday league game and you're winning 3-0 at half time, and then the team straight after half time you're playing against score a goal, and you think this is happening now. For some reason, you can't do anything about it. It's this,
even with that two goal cushion.
It's a 9-month version of that. But Leicester, speaking of which, Leicester are now 9-4 with Bet365 to be relegated from this season's Premier League. So £10 returns £32.50, including stake.
I said start of the season. I said bottom half, and that I should have said relegation.
Well,
it's annoying.
Right. They're flirting with catastrophe.
Well, it's unlikely that the teams, obviously, if Swansea beat them, they're one of the teams below them. But it's unlikely the three teams in the relegation zone are all going to win on the weekend. But if they did, like, Leicester could be bottom. Mm.
But those teams, with the exception of Crystal Palace, all those teams around them are showing something. Swansea look absolutely. A different side under Paul Clement. Yeah. Hull, ditto with Marco Silva. Sunderland have just come off the back of a 4-0 away win. Mm. You know, these teams are showing some. Middlesbrough, who are probably a little bit better off,
they're not conceding.
Don't concede goals. Yeah. So there's a reason to get behind or make an argument for other teams around them to be safe and to do okay. Leicester, the trajectory is horrific.
I just wonder with Leicester that they got a few wins early on. Obviously, that one most notable against Manchester City. And I just wonder if they thought, We won't bother with the league because we will be okay.
Well, I think they're good enough, whatever.
Well, no, I don't know about that. I just think that you're right. I think they might think to themselves subconsciously, we're not going to win the league. We're not going to get into the Champions League. So let's not bust a gut in the league. Let's obviously Champions League. Let's go for that because clearly their form has been much better in that competition. We'll see what happens when it resumes. Of course,
they're playing Sevilla, aren't they?
They are.
Well, they'll get knocked out.
Well, on current form, of course.
I couldn't be any surer than
with Sampaoli, who's doing a great job at Sevilla, they're having a really good season. I mean, they'll be all over Leicester. It could be embarrassing if they don't sort this
Sevilla
out.
Sevilla will want to go in the Europa League win that again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, true. But I just wonder if they just sort of think to themselves, oh, you know, we amassed, you know, 21 points or something like that before some of these other sides have. We've got enough in the bank for now, so we'll see to that and see how we go in the Champions League. And if we're March, maybe we need a couple of wins. And it's kind of like, oh, crap, hang on a minute. Yeah. And you need that urgency. And maybe it'll take them going into the relegation zone for everybody to look at each other and go, you didn't realise what's going on here, guys, you know. And then they might start to try and get some results.
I've heard one or two people say that they have almost subconsciously have so much bought into this massive story, this massive narrative about them, the attention that's brought them, that they almost don't even realise they're doing it. But they are almost like subconsciously sleepwalking into relegation as the final chapter in this remarkable
story. That
would
be a strange thing.
Well, listen, subconsciously, other people have mentioned the
possibility. Blackburn had a few seasons before they went down.
They did, but there was an article, I think it might have been in The Guardian, where it was all about, it would make Leicester City and the whole story even more legendary if they went down.
Are they thinking about the Alpha Dinner Circuit?
Right then, Luke, what's our bet of the week?
Yes, our bet of the week comes courtesy of listener James Holland this week. He says, hello, Ramblers. I thought I'd get on the bandwagon of listeners suggesting ideas for your bet of the week. In an attempt to become an official friend of the Ramble, I'd like to suggest that the resurgence of Swansea under Paul Clement, Marcus, I'm sure you could pronounce that correctly for us all.
The Paul Clement.
And the absolute shit show that is Leicester City's title defence, both will continue. I would like to suggest Swansea to win 2-0, so hopefully win some money for charity and claim that all-important title of Friend of the Ramble. If not, I will join the team talk of your shit, you're even shitter, of recent bets of the week from listeners. Keep up the good work, James Holland. So Swansea to beat Leicester 2-0 is 3-1 with Bet365, and so our £50 will return £200, including stake, with all proceeds, of course, going to the wonderful Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk.
I'm having that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think it's an all right one. Yeah. And that's why I chose it.
And Barton gets sent off.
And Costa.
Yeah. I've got a few looking ahead to the weekends here before I go to Pete, so I'll just chip in with those as well. Looking ahead to the weekend, Pete Eakin says, I'll be slyly watching the Edinburgh Derby during my mate's wedding.
Oh, what
a mate. That's Pete Eakin. So you also listen to the show and you're getting married and you're friends with Pete Eakin. That's what he's going to be doing at your nuptials.
How far ahead is Celtic?
Same time difference, mate.
What?
Same time difference.
Oh, don't be naughty.
Same time zone, surely. If we're being pedants.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's Edinburgh Derby.
Yeah. Still. It's meaningless. You hear that, Scotland? Yeah, meaningless.
probably can't even hear it because all the neeps in your ears.
Oh, dear. Go on.
Oh, Kenny Graham. He says, it's a Devon Derby on Saturday with Plymouth in second and Exeter in fourth and unbeaten in 12 games.
And I'm going to be at my friend's wedding.
What else have I got here? Drew Heatley. Taking my dad to Fulham versus Wigan this weekend. My brother gave him his ticket on the condition that he stays positive.
Not leaving after Shepherd Cook gets brought on.
But inevitably, my usually pleasant trip to Craven Cottage will no doubt be punctuated by him moaning about everything from his perceived chronic lack of investment in the club to the cost of a Bovril. I fully expect 75% possession, 3 missed penalties and then 1-0 defeat, leaving my dad apoplectic at the state of his club and also smug that he was right all along. On the flip side, at least I'll get a free lunch. And this final one I've got here from James Kenny. You see, I love this. You guys are going to love this. This is the comment exactly as it's written, okay? James Kenny, I'm going to see Man United take revenge for that humiliating loss at Vicarage Road. I will also get to picture the looks on the faces of the fans who thought it was funny to taunt me and my friends in a pub rather than just enjoying the win against a team they have rarely beaten in their history.
Chippy. Chippy.
James, you sound amazing. Can you please get in touch more often?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Also, I'm loving this dad behaviour. Yeah. I don't know where that's come from.
Dad's at football ground. Wow.
Should we have some more emails?
Yeah,
Pete Donaldson?
Yeah, well, we're obviously talking about the subject of Ramble listeners who have played a decent level in football. We had someone who played for
Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm. We had an FA Cup scoring goalkeeper.
Oh, the Crystal Palace one. I forgot to say, someone tweeted in a couple of days ago saying that they think that guy might not have made his debut.
Yeah.
So, just putting it out there.
Wow.
I can't remember his name, but if you're listening, you might want to defend yourself. Because we can all email in
with
saying
evidence.
Stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, we're gonna check.
A few people have had a crack, to be honest. Charlie from Chester plays international bog soccer. That's not going in, Charlie, but thank you for your email.
And you sound made up.
Yeah. Steve Hicks says, hi, I'm a Canadian and my uncle plays top tier MLS. Thanks.
Yeah,
no,
great.
Steve, get
not
out.
You.
Yeah, no, not you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going in, Marcus. Yeah.
No.
We've got a lot of emails to get through, so settle in.
I was getting involved with the chorus.
Right, okay.
Marcus, strap yourself in.
Yeah. Right.
A man pretended to be Ipswich Town's Kevin Brew. You emailed this to me, Luke, and I was willing to give him a pass because in the email he did slate Luke.
No, what it was is it's an interesting situation because there was a guy who emailed in saying his mate listened,
right,
and he now plays for Ipswich. On the same day, we got that email.
Right, okay.
But
well,
when I looked at the two pictures of the players, it didn't add up.
No, and also, Kevin Brew has such an obvious Levski Sofia related email address. It was so obvious. They just set it up, but fair play for setting up a fake email address.
But can we get the insult to Luke written out?
We don't have it. I didn't print it out.
Oh. Yeah, see?
Yeah, so
respect.
Hello to Lewis Morris at hotmail.co.uk. He says, I'm Ian Rush. No, you're not Lewis. John McNamara reckons Huddersfield Town's Joe Lolly listens, or at the very least gives us pelters on Twitter from time to time. I tried to research this, but I got distracted by Joe's lovely dogs.
Can I just say, his research, I checked, this was him tweeting James, tweeting Lolly and him not replying.
Yeah.
I had to look.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not saying that. I said I researched that.
Oh, okay, right.
But I got distracted by Joe Lolly's dogs.
Okay, fair enough.
Taylor Wilson says, his mate Daniel Bogard, 2 appearances for Pompey in the League Cup.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. Taylor Wilson's a prominent Ramble listener and Portsmouth fan.
Right, okay. Yeah. So it could be a possibility then.
That's true. That guy's hardly a Hall of Famer, though.
Oh.
Yeah, but we still...
No, a man who's played for your favourite football team.
My favourite football team.
Well, your favourite football team.
Oh, do you like football? Who's your favourite football team?
Daniel Bogard.
Stop this.
Daniel Bogard also once caught a fellow professional having some self-love in a hotel room in Holland. I've deleted that from the email, didn't I?
Oh,
so,
okay,
yeah, but feel free to put it back in.
Yeah, right, you might want to bleep that.
Yeah, all right, good. You're right. John Collings, not the footballer, makes a good point that in our ad break, the marker says the following, and I quote, hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not playing my dupe, I listen to the Football Ramble.
Yeah, okay.
Correct.
True.
Correct.
True. So good technically point. He's in.
Yeah. Right.
Well, actually, thinking about it, what about old Linford Grimes?
Linford Grimes. He's up there as well.
I thought I'd make that point. Couldn't remember his name.
Right. Right. Mike Hester has got in touch.
Right.
In the spirit of the pretenders responding to your request for listeners who have purportedly played at a high level, I thought I would volunteer my name. I've been a listener for about 7 years. I firmly believe that I have satisfied one of the important criteria that you seek, being a listener. On the football front, my qualifications are, however, a little bit more vague, but given the pedigree or lack thereof of your respondees so far, I should be in good company. And Mike goes on to detail his footballer career in his 20s. He didn't really have much of one. He didn't play much, but he does go on. In a council grounds to the World Cup stadium's kind of fairy tale, I found myself starting a refereeing career in my late 20s, and 10 years later became the first New Zealander to referee at a World Cup when I was appointed to South Korea versus Greece in Port Elizabeth, Elizabeth in the 2010 FIFA World Cup in South Africa.
Port where, sorry Pete?
Elizabeth. It's a long email, just shut the fuck up. Alright?
It's a long email, so the words are harder.
Yeah. I'm doing a lot of talking, alright? I enjoyed many domestic and international refereeing highlights along the way, such as the 2008 Beijing Olympics, the 2009 Confederations Cup, and the 2009 FIFA Under 17 World Cup, where I controlled a semi-final between Switzerland and Colombia, and I let a then 17-year-old Granit Xhaka wander around the pitch whacking people without consequence.
Making them jackals.
The FIFA World Cup in South Africa was obviously a huge highlight and no small feat for an amateur referee from a country where football is not even the number one sport. My time in refereeing is now over and I've reverted to just being a fan. I do, however, recount one refereeing story for the amusement of others. I made it a rule not to chip players as a referee. There was, however, one occasion when my natural instincts just took over. I was refereeing a friendly in New Zealand in 2007 between Wellington Phoenix and LA Galaxy, featuring one D-Bex. Mr. David Beckham.
His referee, D-Bex, is yeah,
incredible.
Wow.
If you're David Beckham, don't email in.
Not interested. Friendlies are the worst matches to control for referees, as they usually are anything but friendly, and players often feel that they've got more license to misbehave as cards carry little consequence in normal competitions. The first half was a bit of an arm wrestle, and Mr. Beckham felt it necessary throughout the first 45 minutes to assist me with my decision making. As the first half came to an end and the two teams were headed for the tunnel with the result still in the balance, myself and my assistants converged onto the entrance at the same time as D-Bex. Just as we did so, he turned to me and said, Bad half ref. to which I replied, come on, David, don't be so hard on yourself. You're playing all right.
Hey!
I mean, basic bants. But
yeah,
David was still speechless.
Get it off you, David.
I did not hear too much from him for the remainder of the match, and I've been dining out on that ever since.
Good for you, Mike.
Great work. Thank you, Mike.
Excellent.
Hester. We've got
is he the official referee of the round?
He can be if he wants. Yeah.
Hello to this email is up there, to be honest, regarding your search for the listener who's played at the highest level. I recently introduced my dad to the Ramble via the medium of the Football Ramble book. And that doesn't mean listener though, does it, I guess? He's part of Ramble.
If he was reading it out for his dad and his dad was listening, I guess.
Yeah.
Could be a loophole there.
He's in the sphere.
An ex-professional who had a short spell with Blackburn Rovers in the 80s, as well as numerous scenes with Malmo and an appearance at a European Cup Winners' Cup against Eusebio's Benfica.
Wow.
He played in Sutton United's famous FA Cup giant killing of Coventry. Yeah. And is the all-time leading goal scorer for the now cool Sutton United with 279 goals in 525 games.
That's very, very decent.
Yeah, so it is indeed Paul McKinnon's son. Robbie McKinnon. Right. So we're gonna need to hear from Paul, I think.
Yeah. I think so.
I had a little bit of internet stalking. It turns out Robbie's a model.
Is he?
He's in Top Man.
Handsome?
He's very handsome.
Yeah, nice. We can just get a picture involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we need a picture of you and your dad. You being all handsome and him looking all footballery with the Football Ramble book, maybe.
Your dad with all his old kit on and you and just your pants.
Shaking hands with Pele. No, not Pele, you save
me. Right, finally for now, hi Ramble Gods, please don't use my name. This probably doesn't answer your question at all, but it's kind of related to your who's played the highest level question. When I was at university in Philadelphia, I was an intern for the Philadelphia Union Soccer Club. One day, towards the end of my shift, my boss tasked me with delivering a package to none other than Freddie Adu, who was playing for the Union at the time, autumn 2012. Fast forward about an hour, I'm in the lobby of his apartment complex, one of the nicest in the city, telling the receptionist that I work for the Union and I have a package for Mr. Adu. She rings up to him and says, Mr. Adu, an intern is here with a delivery for you, to which he responds, cool, send him on up. So I get there, he opens the door, I give him the package. He then invites me to come in and hang out for a bit. At this point, I was freaking out. Freddie Adu isn't the international superstar that many of us Americans hoped he would be, but still being invited in is pretty cool. He turns on his Xbox, hands me a controller, and tells me to get ready for a good battle. I'm thinking, Jesus, I'm about to play FIFA with Freddie Adu. Of course, I chose the Philadelphia Union with Freddie playing up top. He chose Real Madrid. Anyway, long story short, I was in control early, up 2-0 after 30 minutes, with Freddie scoring both goals. Real life Freddie even cracked a joke about how he wished he was clinical like that in real life, which I thought was funny. But I ruined everything a minute later. Around the 40th minute of the match, I scored my third goal and said, too easy. And that was it. Freddie got up, used the remote to turn off the TV and said, I think it's time for you to leave.
Oh, no.
Freddie Adu kicked me out of his apartment for a little bit of FIFA gloating.
Give him a bit of defending. He was probably only about 17.
Was it 2012?
Probably about 17, wasn't it?
So there you have it. I didn't play at a high level of football, but I played virtual football against someone who at one point played at a high level of football, and I won.
Thank you, Anonymous. I can't be the only person in the studio hoping that at one point he was going to say, and we turned the Football Ramble on the radio. Yeah. Obviously he didn't.
No.
It's still
to be
a
fair,
story.
Though, Freddie Adu hasn't really achieved anything, has he? Just sort of threatened to.
He's bad at FIFA as well.
Yeah, didn't he fail to get a deal for Portland Timbers this week?
Even Stephen Taylor played there.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the level now.
Oh,
Stephen Taylor's actually come back to England, though, hasn't he?
Ipswich.
He's helping out. Ipswich. I think. Yeah.
Helping out.
I'll help you out, he said.
I'll help you out.
I'll get the cones. I'll sort you against Lincoln, I'll help you out.
Freddie Adu still achieved more than us in the game.
Yeah.
He still 27.
And we're the bar.
He's not listening, it's fine. Who cares?
Oh, there we are. Excellent stuff. Well done, emailers. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble preview show. Of course, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. Mm. That's us. We're out. Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say bye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Freddie Adu.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.